And just like that, we are back. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the married at first sight. I'm sorry. Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight San Diego, season 15, episode 9, recap. It's painful. Yes. How do you people that love reality shows watch this shit weekly? Without us talking about it, you're still watching it. I don't understand.
I mean, you watch it every week now, too.
Okay, but if we weren't recapping it, I would not watch this at all. Although you would. You would still have this saved on your lifetime on Hulu, and you'll be sitting there at 9 o'clock at night just...
Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game, and hate the reality show as we recap it.
It's so painful. I've had a long week at work, and so just dealing with this, I'm like, oh my God, I have to deal with this today. But here I am for you people. Let's do it.
You know, nobody wants to hear your problems, Terrell. Man up. Stop being a Justin and man the hell up.
We all got problems.
Man the hell up and talk about this woman's show.
Cry me a river.
All right, let's start off with Lion Morgan and Stingy Baby. You know, the first thing that I look at this and I go, why does Morgan say that she wanted somebody who would say yes to everything? I mean, who wants somebody who says yes to everything?
Somebody who's broke and struggling to pay her bills.
People jumped in the comments last week and said she's not broke.
They don't know her finances. All I'm saying is, if you're sitting there in student debt and you got one credit you've not taken and you're making all this excuses for it, something tells Ben that you have some financial issues. That's
apparently
all I'm
you
saying.
Too.
Well, apparently, because you made that a big deal. You know, if you got balls, yes, I have some debt, and yeah, I have this, but you should love me for me and look beyond all that. You're so surface level. I'm like, no, you're broke. It's okay.
I will say this, though. Here's the great thing about the two of them. I like the fact that I think they got a little deeper this week. I like that Ben opened up about his own personal issues and even apologized for projecting them onto Morgan. And I think they really had a great moment talking about their upbringing. And I can see why the experts kind of matched them together, because Ben actually needs Morgan to help him grow. And Morgan's going to need Ben to help pay off the student loans.
Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my... So she went all bills, bills, bills on him. But God forbid you throw it in her face, because now that's the ultimate. But I'm with you. I think the mermaid date I thought was cute. I thought that was nice. I thought it was great that Ben was vulnerable with her.
Yes.
And I think she needed that, you know, but I think she is still very sensitive about how she views her shortcomings. It's kind of like when you look at yourself in the mirror, right? You look at yourself and like, oh, I need to do this. Or, you know, I look crazy. Or you might say to yourself, God, I look ugly when I look at myself in the mirror. I wish I looked like Terrell. You can say these things. And I think that... I think that Morgan is looking at herself in the mirror because of what Ben is throwing at her, that she's like, holy shit, I have some opportunities and now I can see it, and it's making her uncomfortable, but she's taking it out on Ben, kind of like, you take your anger out on me because you don't look like this.
Thank God. Now, I will say, this is going to be one hell of a shot. I don't know who peed in his cornflakes today, but this is going to be a hell of a show. I'm just going to point that out right now. It's going to be one of those shows, okay? Just hang on. It's going to be a ride. But you know, here's the thing about this. the fact is that Ben also had some shortcomings because, like he said, in the Asian family, he was expected to be this, and he didn't want to be that, you know? And so that's where I think they find their common ground. At least until next week, because as we saw in the previews, all that shit's about to go up in smoke.
Yeah. Well, true. But I think that maybe Ben, at this point of his life, never been in love before. Could be a deal breaker, you know, for Morgan. And I can totally see that. Especially, it'd be one thing if he had had maybe short-term relationships. But to be with someone for 2 years and you're still not in love with the person, I find that weird. Like, I've never dated someone for 2 years and be like, we cool. Pound it up.
I think it's the way that he talks to her and you look icy. You know, I'm like, I agree with her. Like, your words matter when you're talking to your wife. When you're talking to your woman, you don't talk to her like you're talking to your other love of your life, Justin. Okay, you don't tell her she's looking icy.
You look like a tall, dark glass of chocolate milk.
Oh, my God. As we get to Alexis and Justin, it's funny to me that Alexis says she can't fall out of love. And then when Justin is like, so, you know, can you tell me how much you love me now? And she's like, yeah, no, I can't. I'm uncomfortable. What? You just said you it's impossible for you to fall out of love. Feels like you just did. Over Newton.
She's still trapped up in Doggate. Doggygate is like a big deal for her. And she's looking at Justin with side eye with everything yes. he says. Like everything he says, she's like, is the sky blue? It sure is. Mm-hmm. Let me look out the blinds, double check myself. You know, she's just judging everything that he says, mm-hmm. but that's his fault. He brought it on himself. Now she has to be able to let go and let Doggygate move on, but I don't think she can. And so I'm curious to see where they're going to go. I think that Justin, in his vulnerable, weak-ass mindset, when the therapist talked to him, I'm like, dude, this is why I think Alexis is turned off. He's way too nice. And I know that's a bad thing to say a guy is too nice. I mean, he's a good dude, but he's just way too soft. That stuff, that vulnerability and that sensitivity that he has, that's what's turning her off. But she doesn't want to tell him that because I feel like if she tells him that, you're telling him like everything that you are, I don't like. And so when she was asking, like, do you think if we weren't married and we're just dating, would we still be together? That was her way of saying we wouldn't.
Yeah, well, think about it. He said when she asked him that question, and he said he would stick around to just dating. We're not surprised by that. And when she said she wouldn't, we weren't surprised by that either. But the other part of it, really and truly, is that at the end of the day, what happened when they were with the therapist in that group setting was that even she went, okay, see what happens is you tend to talk around in circles. And that, we know the sensitive part. It's going to get to her at some point. He shed tears for the first 6 episodes and the 7th after party. Or was it 7 episodes in the 8th after party? Whichever one it was. Either way, he shed a lot of tears, right? You were singing Cry Me a River earlier? That was definitely Justin's theme song when he walked on the show, okay? So the fact is it going to get on her nerves? Yes, of course it's going to get on her nerves. And then everything else, because that is the underlying, that is the foundation of the breakup of their marriage, that everything else that he does out of that, it's going to just nitpick and then just pile on until that final straw.
But could you imagine being with somebody that you know is very emotionally sensitive and that if you say anything, they're going to cry, whatever. At some point, you're like, I just got to blow this shit up because the only way I'm going to get out is unless I just blow this up and really hurt this person. I'm going to do this, drop this bomb and walk away. At least I'll be free. But there's no nice way of breaking up with somebody who is that emotionally sensitive. There's nothing she can say that's going to make Dustin be like, you know, that's a good point. I agree with you. I wish you well. He's not going to do that.
Here's the great thing. You don't have to worry about dropping the bomb to break this relationship up. You just got to wait till decision day and say no. It's real easy.
She doesn't want to look at him when he starts crying because he's got them big lips. He's going,
leave that man
alone. Why? Why was he? I was there. He's going to pull a Whoopi Goldberg. All my life I had to fight. And fight my brothers.
I told y'all this was going to be one of these episodes.
I'm sorry. Justin just annoys me. And I respect the fact that he's sensitive. He's a genuine dude. But Jesus, no girl's going to want that. And I can tell you, Alexis doesn't want that.
She definitely doesn't. You know what she may want, though? Because, you know, we still got to get to Lindy and Miguel. We still got to get to Kristen and Mitch. Oh, my God, that dude. And to Stasha and Nate. But before we do, got to let you know that this episode of Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast brought to you by Zippix Toothpicks. Alexis may need one of these because she may want to pick up some bad habits after this marriage to Justin. Zippix brings you a totally satisfying, convenient, and flavorful way to curb cravings, get a boost of energy, or simply relax at the end of your day. Now, if you've ever tried to quit before, then I'm sure you remember all the ways you tried to quit smoking. And now there's an easier, cheaper, less messy, and more subtle way to curb cravings with Zippix Toothpicks. The best part about Zippix is that you can really use them just about anywhere. With 2 milligrams per pick and some 3 milligram options, Zippix Toothpicks are long-lasting, extremely affordable, and available in 6 delicious flavor choices. Are you still on the cloves, sir?
I'm still on the Spice Island cloves. I'm still on the Spice Island cloves, and they are delicious. So this is the bag that they come in. And then, of course, you have this little container, which you can use, which I like to throw about 5 or so in and just have those with me throughout the day. And as I put them in my mouth, they are very, very delicious. And to your point, I can't take them anywhere. You know, I was sitting in a meeting today in a conference room with my boss and another person face to face, and through this end, they didn't really notice, but it was enjoyable. It was relaxing, and I really liked it. And you think about all the ways that we've tried to quit smoking, even when you and I were smokers, you know, we would either try to hype each other up to quit smoking. We would make these deals with ourselves. We try to start working out, patches, gums, all those things different work. This actually works really well. And what I really like about it is the oral gratification. That helps me because I've always wondered, you know, when I quit smoking, what do I do with my hands? You know, when you try to get smoke, especially if you're out drinking or hanging out with friends. And so I really love that. Plus, it's the flavors that also keep me coming back for more. Also, if you need a boost of energy, try their Zip Energy B12 and the caffeine toothpicks. You guys have seen me use Zippix on this podcast. Now it's time to find out for yourself. Go to ZippixToothpicks.com today and use code RGRT to get 10% off your order. That's ZippixToothpicks.com, promo code RGRT. You must be 18 or older to purchase. Zip more, smoke less with Zippix Toothpicks.
You know, as we get to Lindy and Miguel, Miguel's friend is, I realize that he could probably be in our friend group. I mean, granted, he's a Dungeons and Dragons probably dude too and all that other crap. So
that's we wouldn't we
relate to money to that stuff. Yeah, exactly. But I love the fact how... He told him, like, hey, here's what I feel. Here's the problem I have with this woman, and here's the problems. And I feel like it's something that you and I would do to each other. Like, you meet somebody, and you would tell me, and I would tell you, plain and simple. It's like, you know, because that's what you do. And I think that was really dope of him to actually tell Miguel that, because a lot of friends skip past that. And he didn't tell him in a malicious way. He told him, like, hey, and asked him, does this raise any red flags for you? Because, God.
I really loved the fact that his friend was skeptical of Lindsay and called it out, especially around the insurance conversation. Yeah. Because how many times have people not said something and they picked up these red flags with their friends' partners and just kind of ignored it?
Yep.
And then when it goes bad, they're like, yeah, I always thought they were crazy.
I kind of knew that.
I respect the fact that his friend did that because you just never know how that conversation is going to go. And, you know, if Miguel was so caught up in love, he might have got offended. So I'm glad that the person spoke up and said it. And he's right. I mean, I think that Lindy we saw last week, I think brought a lot of concerns for many of us, especially those of us that were Lindy Miguel fans. But the other thing I made a note of is when Miguel opened up that bottle of champagne, I'm sorry, but people that get all jumpy over champagne bottles popping annoy the shit out of me. It's one thing if I sneak up on you or you're in a deep sleep and I just like boop and pop a bottle. You see me doing it. It's just those people are just kind of annoying. And so watching her Miguel, I was like, stop it.
You see, okay. She knew it was being open. It can still surprise her. It doesn't matter. You can go into a haunted house and still be surprised, okay? It can happen.
So I could put on a mask that has eyeballs cut out and a mouth and put on like a scary mask in front of this person. And as soon as I put it on, they're like, oh my God, and they freak out. No, that's what happened. When you're opening up a bottle of champagne in front of somebody, it is. You're opening a bottle of champagne in front of somebody and you see me doing it. I'm tearing the paper off and I'm pushing and it pops and it makes you go, oh my God, Miguel. It's annoying.
Actually, I think there's a lot more annoying about Lindy than that reaction. And it's funny that you picked the smallest thing because, you know, Miguel was giving her warnings that she wasn't even hearing. And then what'd she go? Well, you know, she literally, did she pull this out? If you don't love me at my worst, you can't love me at my best.
The Marilyn Monroe defense.
And then when in the group setting, she has the nerve to say that Miguel hasn't seen her crazy side. To yes. me, that's crazy because
we all did.
We've all seen glimpses and we all wanted to run. We were telling Miguel to run. Hey, it's okay. Pack up. Leave. We're with you, homie. We'll see you on decision day. We'll already know what it is.
Yeah.
Pull a Chris.
I texted 5 Miguels hoping I'd get the right one. It was like, you got to get out. You got to get out of this. Yeah, her crazy side is out there. And I think Miguel, what I really like about what Miguel did is he called it out. Because how many yes. times have we been on a date with somebody and we got that crazy vibe? We're just like, okay, let me just get through the night. And I'm going to drop her off. I'm going to go home. Don't have to see her again. When you're married, you can't really do that. But the fact that he was honest with her and just said, hey, I don't like the side of you, and still held true to that. And called yeah. out, like, if I see someone who's, like, being crazy or has crazy tendencies, I'm going to walk away. And so that was, to me, her warning sign.
And she didn't hear it at all.
And she didn't get it.
She didn't get it to the point that after he said that, she goes in a group setting and goes, well, he hasn't even seen my crazy side, and I'm afraid to show it. And he's going, what the f- are you talking about? I've seen it.
There's more? Oh, my goodness. There's more than what I saw? Yeah, I'm out. I don't even need to see that. If that was you at DEF CON 3, I don't need to see DEF CON 5. Sorry, I don't.
She was in no way trying to help the cause of them staying together on decision day. Because if this is what you've shown me already, and I know me, this is what you've shown me already, and you're telling me this is just scratching the surface, I ain't the one. And that's Miguel right now. I think he's like, well, you know what? I got 4 more weeks. Let me knock this out a couple more times.
He's going to. Like, look, one in the hand, 2 in the bush. You feel me?
No, it's just crazy women tend to. Well, never mind. Let me just move
yeah,
on.
Well, crazy women sex is kind of awesome. So he's just like, I just got to make sure I don't get kilt. And I said kilt with the T. Got to make sure I don't
K-I-L-T.
Get
kilt. Yes.
Got to make sure I don't get kilt over the next few weeks. But I'm going to have some fun.
You know, who's not having fun? And we knew this was coming. No matter how much they tried to fake the funk, Kristen and Mitch. Kristen tried to act as if, I am so glad we went through this in the beginning. And look at us now. It's just the perfect marriage. And we are looking at this and going, we see the signs. When will you take off the blinders? Why is Mitch even on the show? I mean, seriously, that's the first question that came up to me when I saw them on there. I mean, he wasn't even into or really wanting a long-term commitment. Why is he on the show?
Okay, if they had someone else besides Mitch who was also equally looking for love and very, you know, agreeable to their partners and all these, it'd be boring. It would be a fun show to watch. You'd be like, yeah, why is this couple here? You'd be talking shit. Mitch is here for the drama, and we're here for it. And we're seeing it. We've called it out. We said that they're going to be an issue because of Mitch's extremism when it comes to being an environmentalist. Now, again, I applaud his effort in what he's doing. But he is such the hippie that when Kristen says that her long-term professional goal is to flip houses, all of a sudden he loses shit around that. Like, she's just, this person is going to try to put people out in the streets and make housing
predatory.
Affordable. She just said, no, I want to own some properties and flip houses. Yes. That's a great investment. But the way,
yes,
the where his mind went, I'm like, what is your deal, dude? He's
just a
mess.
The thing, he is not only a mess, he's a selfish friggin' mess. I mean, him thinking it's predatory for her to flip houses and putting down what she tells you is her dream and you put it down, right? What kind of husband are you, for one? But then two, you know, she makes a hell of a point that she's consenting to his passions and he has no desire for hers. Like, he just immediately puts hers down. And she's like, wait, I don't do that to yours when you're about this stuff. And we see this throughout, from the minute she said that, that was the theme for them for the rest of the entire friggin' episode. It's always about what he wants, and he doesn't give two shits about what she wants.
Okay, but here's where I disagree with you a bit, is Mitch is not, I've not seen through what the producers want me to see. I've not seen where Mitch's expectation is that Kristen is equally excited and passionate about environmentalism as he is.
What show have you been watching?
It doesn't seem like his thing is like she has to be all the same level as me.
But did you not see the trail mix thing last week? Come on, you were right there. You watched the same show I did.
I did. But I'm saying
she the shot cups, the jello shots, you were mad at that too.
I wasn't mad. She is putting in way more effort than he is when it comes to that. And I think that's the difference, is that she can't expect him to be as excited about her passions as he is, or as she is. But for him to be that much of an asshole about her wanting to flip houses and where he took it, it was just stupid. But again, that's just Mitch. That's the man that she married.
It's not about being as excited about her passion. You'll never, there's no way in God's green earth I'll be as excited about HR as you are. Ever.
I'm not
right?
It's not about being. Pays the bill. I don't wake up like, ooh, I can't wait to interview somebody today. Like,
I've got some trick questions.
Yeah. Ooh, 10 resumes in my email. Ooh, the lucky guy. No, I don't do that.
But the point is, he minimizes everything that she has going. And if it's not in line with what he wants, it's stupid, it's dumb, and it's insignificant. And that's a problem. It's a give and take. Why is he on the show? He is not ready for marriage. And he said it to her and then comes and decides, I'm going to approve this for the rest of the show. I mean, because apparently all the women got together, right? Get all the guys the shirts. We kind of notice this as we see the shirt a couple of times. Like, oh, okay, this is what's going on. He pitches a fit, a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, 2-year-old fit, not wanting to wear the stupid shirt, to the point that she even tells him, like, hey, here's why. Let's go in the bathroom. Let me tell you this real quick. Here's why I want you to wear the shirt. And then it's not like the shirt was ugly. It's not like it was the worst. If it was a Hawaiian shirt, I get it. No, I'm not wearing this bullshit. It's a shirt. She tells you why. Nobody else, none of the other guys know. And then he goes out there and still acts like a friggin' toddler after, well, I'm going to go change. Well, I'm going to say that I was just cold. And I like the fact that she called him out, like, no. And even the psychologist, the therapist was like, just put on the fucking shirt.
Okay. But the whole, hey, let's go in the bathroom and talk for a second. Let's go in the bathroom where there's cameras and microphones.
And let the cameras weren't in there, but the mics are still hooked up.
If the cameras were in there, the producers didn't show it. We can't validate or verify. Cameras were not there. But she did say, can we go in the bathroom and talk for a second? Knowing that they were both mic'd up. Mm-hmm. So this is going to get out. And I'm just like, this is the stupidity of reality TV. But I agree with you. I did make note that Mitch is being a bitch about the shirt. It's a shirt. It's not going to kill you. And once we figured out what they were all trying to do, which I thought cheesy, it's been done before, it's on YouTube multiple times. Why would y'all do that? But whatever, do what you got to do to get ratings. You know, but I thought Mitch was just making way too big of a deal out of wearing the shirt. But
would you have worn the shirt?
Yeah.
See?
I'd have worn the shirt. I'd be like, yeah, fine. This is what you want me to wear? Fine, I'll wear it. I might not say it's my favorite shirt. I love the shirt. But you want me to wear this tonight? Sure. I'll wear it. It's a big deal. That's one less thing I got to think about.
I don't like anybody buying me anything that I did not ask for. I don't think you should give anybody anything. I don't believe in buying gifts to people.
Yeah, because Mitch sounds just like Trump. But maybe the shirt wasn't sustainable. It wasn't organic fabric. It wasn't made from hemp seeds. And that's why he was upset. And they didn't show that on the cameras. I don't really know. You know, but I think that Kristen...
Is this cotton? Like,
when the therapist was talking to the group and she targeted Kristen Mitch, the fact that Kristen was saying that she feels like she's losing herself in the relationship, that goes back to what you and I talked about before, because
exactly
she wants to be married so much, she's willing to do whatever it takes. Now, I'm curious if we could have Kristen on the show, I would ask her, if you met somebody just like Mitch when you were single, 100% to the T, would you still marry him? Would you still date him? Seriously, I'm curious.
She probably would, but then this is where, and you see her breaking point, but then she gives into that breaking point. She reaches the breaking point, and then she just, and pushes it to the side. Because you can see the frustration. The frustration is there, and there's a blow-up coming, because she's bending. And like she said, I feel like I'm losing myself. We said this before, but at the same time, he is not bending at all.
Right.
She's about to be broken in a minute. And when she's broken, it's over. And Mitch will be right there in his nasty ass house by his nasty ass self and see how sustainable that is.
She's going to bend him over that nasty ass stove. And yeah, you get that spick and span. You do it. You clean that shit. Yeah, it's gross.
Yo, Stasha and Nate.
Mm.
This was interesting when, you know, Nate says he's about at 40%, and Stasha's like, no, I'm at 80.
4 out of 10 sounds better than 40%. Just go 4 out of 10. Because I think that's where Nate was going. I'm about a 4 out of 10. 40%? Oh, shit, did I say 40%? 4 out of 10.
Still doesn't sound good, because those of us who know math, Nate, understand. I mean, look, if you're going to be this slow about opening up your heart, then why get on the show? Seriously. I mean, because at the end of the day, if you're going to say I do to somebody, then you don't have time to go through the process that you did. Well, you know, the way I've always worked, it hasn't worked. This is why you're on the show, supposedly. Okay, so if that's why you're on the show, open up. Exactly. Open up. Show what it really is, and be vulnerable and try to get to, you got to get to that point. And it's possible. It's not like it's an impossible thing to do, but he's just trying to be, you know.
He's trying to be Nate, which we've all said that there's a vibe amongst you and I and a lot of people that watch the show that Nate's full of shit. And mm-hmm. So I think Stasha is wanting Nate to be closer to a 10 before she sleeps with him. Because her fear, I think, is that if she just gives up the cookies too quick, it's not going to work out. But I think Nate dried it up. And the fact that Nate hasn't been in love since high school,
mm-hmm.
and he's 32, so let's just say 14 years. Give him benefit of the doubt. 14 years. He's not been in love with anybody? That's a little weird.
That's because he's still accustomed to the blonde girl that was sitting down with him and Stasha.
Megan?
Yes. Megan didn't want love. Megan just wanted...
Megan understood. She was understanding. And maybe that's what Nate needs, is somebody that's a little more understanding.
Yeah, because Stasha can't understand why Nate feels the need to get to know her fully before falling in love. Because, you know, if you look at Stasha, you see her on paper, you see her in person, and you go, all right, she is the catch. And she knows she's the catch, right? She's like, yeah, I'm the catch. He should be lucky to have me. And he's just like, yeah I'm still at a 4.
Well, I get that. But this is where I think Nate's saying what Stasha wants to hear, it's biting him in the ass. Because I think we have all heard, women don't forget. And so he just says this stuff because he's just trying to appease her. You want me to do this? Mm-hmm. Sure, I'll do that. Want me to go to counseling? Sure, why not? So for her, she's been kind of craving for him to open up emotionally. He's not done it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she calls him out about it, you know, he gets all butter about it and doesn't realize that he's just not connecting with her. He's just saying this cool shit,
but he's not. Did you notice something here that he said? Because if I remember correctly, he was never thinking about therapy before, really, just all this. But he said today, like, you know, so I was thinking about therapy, and as we talk about it, then I agree to go. I'm like, no. She talked about therapy, then you agreed to go. It never really was this whole thing of, oh, I always wanted to do it. Until, of course, today it changed. And like you said, she remembers. You can see as he's talking, she's going, because he went to dinner and chose violence, right? And she was sitting there just listening to everything he's saying and going, mm. And you know that mode when the black woman goes, mm, mm-hmm, and doesn't say shit. It's time for you as a man to shut up and back away slowly.
Well, here's what was funny about Nate is that when they were cooking dinner, he's like, I feel like if somebody keeps asking questions and they're not liking the answer, then they're just being hard-headed. I was like, dude, did you just call her hard-headed? And the look on her face, she's just like, I will cut you. If these cameras weren't here right now,
if these cameras weren't here.
But I could not stop laughing. I had to, like,
you're
make
lucky
a note
these
of
white
that.
People are here because they're saving your life right now.
I just had to make note of that. But he straight up called her hard-headed. And yes. It's just the way he tried to dominate that whole interaction. I'm like, mm-hmm. What is your deal, dude? And then, of course, he makes Stacia ugly cry. And none of us want to see that. But when,
okay, I'm up to get you here because people are gonna say it anyway in the comments. Stacia.
Whether it's Stacia, 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 the ugly crying
that's
is still
the stubborn Terrell I know right there. Yeah. Whether it's no, you know what it is.
Yeah, the ugly crying is still the same. I'm not gonna be like, oh Stacia, oh my fault. I was exaggerating about the ugly crying. No, that happened. And we've seen it too many times.
That's my guy.
But Nate tried to get all philosophical when he was saying, well, when you said I felt, that's a feel thing. That's a present moment. Felt is the past. Feel is present. I was like, Nate, stop trying to sound like you're deep. Just let it go.
Because it doesn't help. Because what does he do right after that? He becomes a kid and goes, you want an emotion? You got emotion now. You happy?
Yeah. You want to know how I feel? I told you. We good? Are we good now?
Yo. It's like, you know, and maybe, and you tell me in the comments below, tell us below, is it, he's felt emasculated since she makes three times what he does. More than three times what he does. Is this his way of trying to regain control because he knows love is what she wants? And it's like, I got to hold some control here.
I don't know. I don't want to believe that because Nate's a hustler and he's an opportunist. And he knows that I got to play ball if I want to live in this house with the big, you know, island and the big kitchen. I got to play ball, right? But
which people have pointed out is probably an Airbnb because her house is supposedly being built.
I heard about that.
There's certain
too.
Things I saw it. I was like, hey, interesting. Because I didn't pay that much attention because I was all googly all over the kitchen, you know. But
it's dope.
At the
kitchen.
Same time, though,
it's a dope kitchen.
He still wants to have Megan on the side. So, I mean, he's going to make sure he has a little bit of control in everything.
Well, I don't know. I don't feel like it's a control thing for him. I just think it was. He's trying to level the playing field because he got embarrassed. And he's embarrassing himself. And I don't know if he's paying attention to social media. I would assume he would. And that would have to be hard for any of us, right? Imagine you and I reread the comments of anybody that comments on our YouTube profiles or YouTube postings. But if somebody were to comment something so hateful and angry, it would be hard for us to let it go. But we have to. And so I think for Nate, maybe he's getting a little more animated and pissed as he sees what people are saying about him.
But
because he has his
mind,
social media and he has his Instagram going throughout this whole deal. Maybe that's all, it. I'm reaching. I'm just trying to give him a bit of the doubt.
You're definitely reaching because remember, this is all recorded before. This is all pre-recorded. So therefore,
but his
this
Instagram
is him acting
wasn't.
Up before the comp. No, but that, remember, while they were filming, people didn't know they were filming. They couldn't put that out until the show aired. This was filmed. like very early in the year or last year, because it was filmed. So it's already done before they start airing the first episode. Now, the tell-all is probably done halfway through the season. Decision Day is already done. All that stuff's already done. But then when they get to the where are they now and all this other stuff in the reunion, all that's probably halfway through the season so they can edit it and get ready. So they see some of those comments. But the comments now, they see them now in real time and they can react to them now in real time, but not on the show.
I did not know that. I thought that when the show was airing, you know, there'd be different things they would say or ask people, you know, sidebars, but it wasn't the same as After Party. So I totally get that. But I thought that maybe, you know, they edited out some stuff that he was being honest about. I don't know. Try and give the benefit of the doubt. I just don't get it. But yeah, I do think that Stasha is going to, did I say it right? Stasha?
Yeah.
Stasha is going to realize that Nate's full of shit. Because I think Nate is just saying what he thinks she wants to hear. And when she challenges him, what I don't like about what Nate's doing is rather than listening to her, he's trying to counter to make sense that she's the problem. Just like he did with the dog last week, or the kid situation last week, where he's not seen her with kids, I've not seen her with dogs. How do I know she's ready? When the whole time you've not been ready. That's what you talked about.
You've said this from the beginning, and then he even said it today, where he goes, no, now I know you're the problem. And I'm like, whoa! You can't not take any accountability. Obviously, he's not. Look, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out as we roll through the rest of the season. I know next week is going to be a beautiful explosion as we hit the 1 month mark, the halfway mark through the season, which makes you feel good because we're halfway there.
Halfway. Halfway. And we have our 2-year anniversary coming up.
Yes, indeed, we do. 2 years since we started this podcast, so definitely looking forward to that episode as well. Don't forget, we drop our regular episodes Monday, the audio, and then on Tuesday, we drop the video on YouTube. And of course, Thursdays, we're right back here, Married at First Sight, Season 15, San Diego recap, Terrell's favorite part of the week.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he is so excited. He's almost ready to pick up Ready to Love in the mid-season. But I told him, no, let's just wait. We'll wait till the next season.
Based on the comments, I think I should avoid it because I have some of your prayer warriors are like, Terrell, don't do it. So now I should listen to your prayer warriors? When they say something
now you want to listen to them.
You don't agree with, I should listen?
Okay, Nate. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.